Hi, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Monica.
And we're two fangirls who like to talk about media and knit. This is our podcast, While We Were Knitting. This month, we watched the AMC TV series Interview with a Vampire, which is, I would say, a retelling of Anne Rice's novel, the first chunk of it at least, about the vampire Lestat and the vampire Louis, who are in love and are making some real bad choices about that situation. So, Monica, this week I knit on the road, the ribbing part, and then I was swatching for something else when I realized that on the road with the yarn that I wanted to use was not a good combo. What did you knit?
I knit the Pressed Flowers Cowl by
Amy Kristoff first.
yes, thank you.
At some point, I'm going to knit her the sweater version of that, the cardigan, which is why I was like, yeah, I
Oh,
know who did that.
yeah, it's super cute. Yes, I'd previously knit the hat, and so now I am knitting the cowl.
So I have not read, and I don't think I've watched Interview with a Vampire for like the better part of 20 years. Like, I remember very distinctly reading it when I was 13, having a lot of big feelings, reading a decent chunk of the series, like, definitely through the Queen of the Damned, Vampire Armand. Like, I got into it. And then I was 17 and I got a copy of Interview with the Vampire out of a used bookstore. And I read the first couple of pages and I was like, this is so purple. I can't do this. And like, put it back. So that was my particular experience.
So many of my friends in fandom are aware how I feel about vampire lore, which is I think vampires are stupid. I don't get the whole like sexy blood drinking, et cetera. I find blood gross. I mean, like, I deal with blood. It is not an attractive substance. I do not want it anywhere near anyone's mouth. It's disgusting. So yes, and I find the whole physics of blood drinking from someone's neck to be bonkers, 'cause why? So I find the whole vampire thing dumb. So, but I have had this opinion for a very long time.
Sure.
So I picked up Interview with a Vampire when I was about 14 or 15. I got about two chapters in, went, "This is dumb," and closed it and never read
Wow.
the rest. So I vaguely knew what it was about. And I had seen bits of the movie. I'd never seen the whole movie through. So I'd seen bits of the movie because I had a family member who was very obsessed with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise.
I mean, he's. I feel like if
Yeah,
you're in 1996 and you're like, and let's put together Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, like you were thinking some good thoughts. You were onto
yes.
something.
And I knew people who were super, super into Anne Rice and the Interview and the vampire mythos and the world building and et cetera. And it just wasn't for me.
Sure.
But I remember seeing the previews for this and being like, "Huh, okay, we'll give this a try."
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that is my relationship with the Anne Rice version of Interview with the Vampire. I actually had no idea what the plot was going to be.
Wow. Okay. Because I know that you have like you're like you can't suck blood through your teeth, which I to be fair, I was like, I don't think that's what they're showing us in this movie. They're like the teeth are for tearing and then you suck with your mouth. But I was like, I wonder what Monica's gonna have about this experience because I had a blast, but my interest in melodrama is much higher than yours. So I was like, I don't know what Monica's gonna feel about this situation.
I was very involved in it. I actually really enjoyed it. It definitely led in with a bang.
Oh, yeah.
It was not kidding the places where it was going. And it was like really fascinating. Like more in a sort of horrifying psychological, these are people who have like who are making real bad choices and keep making things worse and worse and worse sort of situation, as opposed to the, I want to suck your blood kind of situation. Yes, they're vampires, and them being vampires sometimes informs some of the like horrible things that they do, and that they the reasons why they do and how they end up in the situation they are. But at the end of the day, it's just like two and then three people making bad choices.
Oh, yeah. Let's start at the top. I think the fact that they moved it 100 years later and then they were like, and Louis is going to be black, were both like amazing choices. I was like, because I had been told by a friend of mine about the series and she had kind of briefed me. And I was like, yeah, no, those are really interesting choices. Because what I hadn't remembered until I went and read like the little Wikipedia description of like the book to be like, what happened in this book again? I don't remember. Was that in the original, it was in like the early 1800s, and Louis was actually a plantation owner and had enslaved people. So like
Oh,
that's a fascinating choice to be like, actually, we hate all
wow.
that and we're gonna like change all that. So I was like, yeah, no, good choice. And then to be like, he is a queer man of color in like 1910. And you're like, oh, I could see how that would be like a huge part of this particular version of this character, having to deal with that like multiple situation where there's certain things he can't tell his family. And then there are certain ways that the world looks at him and treats him. Like he talks about with what's his face, the reporter. He's always like, it's subject, object, verb, sir. And like I had noticed that in the like speech patterns because I was like, oh yeah, like 1910 and you're a black man doing business with like white men who are like pretty racist, like you call them sir and you get called boy and you get called Louis. You don't get a last name.
Obviously not actually knowing or remembering what the book was about. Louis was not queer in the original series, was he?
It was subtextual. It was like one of those things where it's like the relationship meant so much more to me. Like, no, he was not explicitly queer in the
Oh.
original book. No, but like,
Well, he
you know,
certainly was here.
yes. And they were just like, in this one, they're like, these are two men in love romantically and sexually. And I'm just like, also a great choice. Yeah. To be like, this is a marriage explains a lot more
It's
of
a
those.
bad marriage,
But
but
it's a
yes, it's
bad
definitely a marriage.
Yeah. Explains a lot more, I think, of the choices that both characters are making rather than just be like, oh, like, you know, he's my maker, because we don't, that's not a relationship that we have, but we understand the concept of husbands. And we can kind of be like, oh, he's his father slash husband situation.
Father slash brother slash husband. Weird, but yes, totally get it, and it totally works from a sort of a horrifying toxic relationship standpoint.
And the fact that the movie explicitly, or the TV show explicitly, was like, and they had a baby to try and save the relationship, and it didn't work. And I was like, yeah, so true, bestie. It doesn't work like that, actually.
I think that if the entire story had been just them in New Orleans without those like cutbacks, those cut scenes to Dubai and Daniel and and Rashid and well Rashid yes and all of that, I think I would have had to nope out after a couple of episodes. It's a lot, and it's a lot, and there's a very after the first couple of moments there's very little that is like good about it. Well, no, quality, like it's fantastic. It's a fantastic watch, but there's very little that is good about their relationship with each other,
I would say things started going downhill around episode three. That was kind of where it was like, because before that, it's like, oh, you're definitely messed up about each other, but you're like trying to make this work for both of you. And then episode
Agreed.
three is like, oh, this is no longer working for both of you, and you're trying to have a baby to make it work, and it's not.
Though it is funny that because you're right, they were actually like it was a messed up relationship, but they were happy together. Like I don't think there was any question about whether or not they were happy together. They were. And the thing that ended up putting the most stress on their relationship wasn't internal. It was the societal pressures of this wonderful thing that he created being shut down by by racism, essentially. And that was in the end what kind of like it put the stress fracture on their relationship, and that definitely never recovered.
No, and like the other ongoing situation with Louis' family, where he's like, I love my sister, I love my mother, I loved my brother, and having them be horrified not only at like the way that his life has become weird as a vampire, but being horrified at his relationship with another man was obviously also another stress point with that you kind of keep returning to throughout the series, where you keep seeing his sister and you have Claudia understanding that, oh, he lost his family in a very deep way, and I am the replacement family.
So I didn't, I mean, I got that, like, I did understand that they had, that he had brought them in, and Daniel explicitly says, oh yes, it's the, you know, the band-aid on the bad marriage. But I didn't register that, oh no, he didn't want a daughter. He just wanted family, and she just happened to be the source of it. Literally until Claudia pointed it
Yep.
out, actually. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. But then again, like, you did in fact adopt her and turn her at 14. So this poor person, can't call her a child anymore, is going
No.
to be trapped at 14 forever.
Ooh, that's rough.
Like, totally get where her angst came from
Yeah.
about that. I really liked her diary entries, by
Oh yeah. No,
the
those
way.
are really fun. I thought that was a really fun way to shift the series so that we're not just getting Louis, we're also getting like inside of Claudia. And an interesting thing, because I know this because one of my friends actually is a big Interview with a Vampire original movie fan. Their icon is a picture of Claudia, which was Kristen Dunst, who was like made up to look like she was 8, 9. So she was supposed to be younger, which was like really horrifying. So by aging her up, it was interesting to see kind of like the ways that that changed the character a little bit, because it's obviously still deeply horrifying to be 14 forever. Like, I no, absolutely not. But imagine being a 36-year-old trapped as an 8-year-old. To me, that's even more horrifying.
I feel like that particular trope, the, you know, the ancient vampire trapped in a small child's body, and the horror of that thing is a fairly common thing in a lot of in a lot of, like, vampire fiction. I remember there was a, like, Anita Blake had a character like that too and such. But yeah, I do think the sort of on the cusp of teenagership or in the middle of teenagership thing was an interesting choice, because yeah, she's like an 8-year-old or someone in the body of an 8-year-old might be thinking about relationships and, like, building homes and families, et cetera. But no matter what, cannot have the expectation of it, right? Whereas someone in the 14, 15, 16-year-old, especially at that age, would have been thinking about it and could have been expecting it. And that's part of the reason why the whole thing with, like, Charlie was so awful,
Oh my
you
God.
know?
Poor
Yep,
Charlie.
poor Charlie.
Yeah.
The fact that it was totally an accident actually makes it so much worse, because she really did not mean to kill him.
No, she's like, I accidentally killed him, and that's obviously really sad. And then Lestat's like, and you will look at his body. Well, I was like, this is bad parenting. This is very bad parenting, actually.
That's the thing, right? It was very bad parenting, and I'm like, I don't exactly disagree with him, but it's still bad
Yes. It's, I
parenting.
think it's a point to be like, you made a mistake and you have to live with that mistake and you cannot avoid that mistake. But like to rub it in her face by being like, and you have to watch his face melt. I'm like, oh, this is compounding trauma here, actually.
He did not want her from the beginning, and he makes that very clear throughout.
Oh my God. Not a good parent. Not a good parent at
No,
all.
no,
But
no.
no. There's actually a shawl pattern that I looked up because I was like, I wonder what I would knit for this particular movie. And it's called Interview with the Vampire. And it's like beaded, cabled, you know, all the things. It's like his huge shawl, huge like semicircular shawl. And I'm like, yeah, I'd make that.
That's valid. The piece that I was thinking of was is called Dragonier. It's by Marie Amelie Designs, and it is a black, it's a black cardigan with sort of jagged red lines as a yoke going across the shoulders. And I own the pattern. I've been meaning to knit it for years now. But just the sort of jagged edges and the way in some lights it looks like city spires and in other lights it looks like blood, was what this particular episode made me think of.
Yeah.
It and funny, the what I'm currently knitting was a great combination as far as, like, being able to watch and knit at the same time, but it's like forest green and fluorescent pink flowers.
Not appropriate. No, not appropriate in terms of
It
vibes.
did not seem like it was, color-wise, just looking at it and looking at the screen and then
Yeah.
looking at it was an interesting juxtaposition.
It is a very placey series. Like, New Orleans is like very important as a specific place during specific time periods with specific like weather, with like specific history, a specific like architecture. And then you go to the Dubai parts and you are still, it's a different vibe, but like in the show never wants you to forget that you are in a modern city that Louis has a very like luxurious apartment in. Like the apartment is part of that setting so much.
The scenes like you where you can see the desert and the buildings outside the window, you know, just the very the and the very stark lines of the apartment in Dubai are just it's such a great scenic contrast to the like sort of old worldy clutter, you know, of where they used to live in New Orleans.
I'm so interested in where they cut off the book because, like I said, this is not this is, I don't even know how much of the book this is, but that's not the whole book. Like the book,
Oh, it's not.
no.
Oh.
I mean, there's like a whole part in Europe, and they actually in the book, I think, again, this was me refreshing my memory via Wikipedia, so don't have great memory at most of it. But in the book, they actually end up do going to Europe and do kill Lestat and kill, quote unquote, kill
Oh.
Lestat in Europe.
Oh. Again, or did they not kill
No,
him in New
they
Orleans?
didn't kill him in New Orleans.
Oh, huh. I liked the way that settled, though. I mean, the fact that I was like, no, you have to put him in the fire. No, you're not putting him in the fire.
No.
No, you're not putting him in the
Well,
fire.
Daniel
Okay.
like calls Louis out on that. And that's, I
Yeah.
think, an interesting moment because we had already discussed like the unreliability of memory, both, Daniel's and Louis, just in general, memory is not perfect. So to then have Daniel be like, no, that's clearly bullshit. Claudia would have wanted to put him in the fire. She wouldn't have been like, I can't do it. She wrote his last words in
In
his
his
blood.
blood.
This was not somebody who was going to have an issue with this. It was you who couldn't do it. And you knew somewhere in the back of your mind that he would come back if you did not like do something about this in a permanent way, in a way that you did with Antoinette and you couldn't with Lestat because you couldn't kill him.
I did enjoy Daniel like calling Louis out on things.
Daniel's a huge asshole, but it's helpful to have somebody who is willing to be like, this is not accurate. What you are telling me is not accurate.
Like, because we want to believe Louis. He makes bad choices, but he is ultimately a pretty sympathetic vampire. You want to believe in him, but he makes bad choices, and
Oh,
he is
he
not a reliable narrator at
no.
all.
No. And it's so interesting to cut between those two times and to see his demeanor in the past. It obviously changes throughout the show where he kind of like goes into this depression, is much less energetic than he was in the first couple episodes in the past. But in the present, he is very locked down. Like his accent isn't as strong, which makes sense because he hasn't been living in New Orleans for a century. His
He's
emphasis isn't.
stripped down.
Yeah, he's really stripped down. And then the reveal at the end that actually Rashida is the vampire Armand and is a very powerful older vampire is such a like question of like, okay, how much has having a relationship and being in love with this person who is infinitely older than he is, well, not infinitely, but like is a significantly older than he is, has changed him, especially because they've been in a relationship for a long time, clearly, because Daniel has that flashback to the gay bar in San Francisco, where like Armand is already there. So it's like it's been 50 years. They have been together for a while. And clearly in 1970 something, Louis was not as chill about his former relationship with Lestat as he is in the year of our Lord 2022, question mark?
Pandemic? Question
Yeah,
mark?
pandemic.
It was an interesting choice to set it during the pandemic, and I'm wondering because it's mentioned in the first two episodes and then never mentioned again.
Well, it's whenever you see anybody who's not Rashid and is not, I want to say Russian, the Russian guy,
They're
they're wearing
masked.
masks.
Yeah.
The doctor is the only one who isn't wearing
Oh,
masks, but like
you're
whenever
right.
somebody comes in, they're wearing a mask.
I'm not curious enough to actually want to read the book.
Don't read the
Just
book.
But I am really curious about like how all of this was framed, because I have sort of distantly heard that this is a closer approximation of the book than the movie was.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that is what I have heard, but I was like, how is that possible? I don't
I,
know if that's
yeah, I would not agree with
possible.
that assessment of the situation because I also reread the Wikipedia entry of the movie because I haven't seen the movie since like probably like 15 years, maybe a little over 15 years. But it definitely, they changed it, but I feel like the movie was more of an adaptation and this story is definitely more of a retelling. Like they're making some really conscious decisions with like changing a lot of the underlying basis, just like the solid bedrock of who Louis is, as well as changing Claudia a lot and like making it an explicitly queer relationship. To me, this is a retelling in some ways rather than an adaptation because they've also shifted the timeline of everything by 100 years. Like World War II is happening in this, in these past flashbacks. World War II was not happening
Oh no,
in,
I guess it couldn't have been.
no, in the book.
You mentioned that your knitting choice was not working well with you with the show.
So it wasn't anything with the pattern. It wasn't even with the show. The show was great because I was on 2x2 ribbing. So like I was enthralled by the show. I was like in it. When the point when they murdered the two priests, after Lestat murdered the two priests and then they got vampire married in the church, I was just like, I'm in. I am in. I am in. Everything that's happening to me is sparking such joy. This is insane. Anne Rice, I was talking to my friend who had recommended the show to me. And I was like, wow, I love that they murdered two priests and then they got vampire married in a Catholic church. The drama of it all. And she's like, yeah. And it feels very Anne Rice because, you know, the woman had varying relationships with both Christianity and Catholicism throughout the life, but she always had a relationship.
Sure.
It's correct that Catholicism was a thing in the first episode.
I remember when they went to his mother's wake and brought Claudia, and like there's definitely like some choices. You're like, Louis, why would you bring them?
Because it's his daughter, and he's like, I need to make my daughter meet my sister. That's, I literally think, the line of thinking. He's like, this is my family, and I need my family to be with the rest of my extended family at this event.
Even though the rest of your extended family repudiated you long ago, you have not seen them in years, and the last time you saw your mom, she called you the devil. Yes, this is gonna go great.
Well, I
But
think having his sister and having his relationship with his sister be symbolic of his relationship with humanity writ large was, I thought, really good. And I really liked it because you could have somebody who had known him as a human, had known him very deeply, and calls out in that scene in the graveyard, had loved him very deeply, and is like, I don't even recognize you anymore.
Totally valid. It's been 20 years and he looks like he's the same age that like on the same day as their brother's funeral. Like, but though, man, they're actually like putting a death date down for him. I'm like, oh. I mean, valid, 100% valid, but oh, wow.
It was rough. Yeah. And you can really see him. That happens. Like Claudia's left, and you're like, oh, this is a man who's not doing well. Like, they were like, and then he was depressed for 7 years. And I'm like, yeah, this is not somebody who's doing well right now. And like Lestat, who I the thing about the series is I firmly believe no matter how messed up, including like the domestic violence part, it got between Louis and Lestat. I'm like, yeah, he loved him the entire time. Was it like a good love? Was it a healthy love? Was it a love that is like always worth it? No, but he loved him from the moment he saw him to the end of the series. Like I assume next season Lestat shows up and is like looks at Armand and is like, who's this? Who is this person you've taken up with?
You know, I totally would watch the next season just for that. I
I
really
mean,
would. I actually really
listen,
liked Rashid.
I liked him a lot too.
I liked him, and then that flashback, I was like, oh wait, oh shit, is this just his like brain or no, it's actually, I was actually really excited. That was a great cliffhanger at the end there.
It's a great cliffhanger, and it's a great cliffhanger to be like, and this is the vampire Armand, because like that was the canonically queer Anne Rice novel. Like the vampire Armand is the canonically queer one.
Oh, huh.
And I was also obsessed with it because I went through like a real Botticelli phase. None of this is surprising. As a teenager, big Botticelli fan, and it had a Botticelli cover with like one of the Cupids. Very into the whole thing.
It is one of those things where I wasn't sure I wasn't I was gonna watch it. I wasn't sure I was gonna enjoy it. I did not expect to get as into it as I did. I got very into it. Like, I found parts of it very difficult to watch, and they're supposed to be, you know, that's not, it's dreadfully uncomfortable at times. So I would not rewatch any part of that first season, but I will remember it, and I would definitely watch another season, which I think is about as good as you can get for something like this.
I finished and I was thinking about it. I was like, I wonder how Monica's gonna feel about this, because this is extremely like my vibe, where it's like melodrama and like nonsense and like everybody's in love but making bad choices. And I'm like, this is not Monica's vibe. That's not it.
And you know, as I was watching, I was like, oh yes, this is the like horrifyingly toxic queer relationship. Nicole must be loving
Yeah, I had a great time. Very good. It was very good. When
this.
Louis was like, and you put your girlfriend on this record as a love song to me, I was like
I
obsessed with everything that's
was
happening here.
like, yes.
Obsessed.
Yeah, I mean, like Lestat was an ass, but he was like, he had style when he was an ass about things. Like, he was as over the top when he was an asshole as he was in everything else. The one thing that I was like, oh my God, this is actually like super cute, is the like their side-to-side coffins and them like poking their heads out to talk to each other. And like when he's mad at Lestat, he keeps the coffin closed while Lestat yells at him through the coffin. They actually did have some like legitimately cute moments.
I feel like there's three lines that echo, and the first line is, I don't want to go to sleep angry, when like
Yes.
Lestat is like poking up from his coffin to be like, we can't go to bed angry, back when things are healthier, healthier,
Yes,
healthier.
healthier.
And then there's the when Louis is talking to the Russian gentleman, he's like, what's his face? He's American. You can't talk to him like that. And when the doctor is like, I'm not
I'm not
here.
here.
Those three lines were real. Like, I feel like I can see the same sensibility on those lines.
Yes. No, the doctor repeating, I'm not here. Stop talking to me. I'm not here.
Don't
Over
acknowledge
and
me.
over. There is very little like real laugh out loud humor. So those like little bursts of humor really did help because otherwise it's super heavy.
It's really heavy. It's like, let's talk about like queer issues. Let's talk about race in America. Let's talk about like death. Let's talk about toxic relationships. So the fact that they managed to get like anything in where you were like, and that was fun. I had fun with that. Like, yeah, I think you need those little moments of levity.
Yes. And I do think that the whole thing was super, super like dramatic and like spanning and like melodrama, but in a way that was very conscious of itself. So it was over the top, but it was over the top in a way that was enjoyable more than it was cringy. And I say that for someone with a very low cringe threshold.
No, they knew that we were, they were like, we are doing drama with a capital D. The first thing I knew, was just two by two ribbing, which thank God, because I was again glued to absolutely what was going on my screen. And that was fine. But unfortunately, what I realized after a while, like a couple of days after, when I got a little further in, I was like, this is an Aran weight yarn, and I thought I could fudge it and make it for like a low worsted like DK by just switching the size. And I was just like, this is not going to work. So I actually ripped that out last night when I was watching the second half and cast on for a swatch for another turtleneck pattern from Red Heart,
Got it.
which is for an Aran actually weight yarn. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just gonna stop fighting it and do what I need to do.
But yes, I'm glad I wasn't knitting anything like super involving because it wouldn't have worked. I did get really, really into it.
It's a lot. It was a lot. I'm so glad that we're going to watch season two. I don't know. It's supposed to come out in 2024, so we'll watch it. We'll definitely put it on the schedule. But next month, we're actually going to go back to the 90s And we are going to watch Cutting Edge, which is a movie I've seen, I think, the first 20 minutes of, 30 minutes of, and Monica has never seen. But we are doing some research into hockey, into figure skating, and the crossover between the two. So I am excited to see it. I know a bunch of my friends really love it.
Gonna be fun.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.